Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquette. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Be sure to check out our website and podcast to keep up to date with all of our daily market commentary, as well as our continued company updates. Just trying to keep everybody as up to date as we can on these markets, as we, are going through a bit of a bounce this week, which is, I think, a welcome reprieve from the constant stair-stepping lower pattern that we have seen in the markets pretty much across the board throughout this year. The biggest question being, is this going to be more than a bear market rally? We are kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. On the retail and individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader and just started a piece called 7-Eleven that picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the underlying S&P. Rick, let's start with kind of what I said on the onset there, is that this week, at least so far, we are recording this halfway through the day on Wednesday, the market has been bouncing all week, moving higher. It started at the tail end of last week on Friday. Rick, is this anything more than a bear market rally in your eyes?
I think it's still a bear market rally, Corey and Chad. It may have some more to go, but in the scheme of things, I think 2023 is going to be problematic for the markets, probably the first half of the year, where I wouldn't expect any material increase in price. Certainly not a test of all-time highs or anything like that that the bulls are calling for. So I look at this as probably a good solid trading bounce, but something that ultimately I'm still going to be looking to sell into. And just as far as like levels, I'd say with the S&P trading at 38.75, again, we're midweek, but I would think that the two kind of big levels I'd look at right now are 39.08 and then north of 4,100. So we'll call it anywhere from 4,100 to 4,150 or so, I think is going to be tough going beyond there. And if we get the chance, anything near 4,150 to sell, I will, and likely dramatically lighten up long exposure again. That we actually got suggested to our clients the day after the low was made, I guess, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago or so, we turned bullish again, and we've been writing that and said that through elections, I expect a rally going into elections, and we'll have to see what comes of elections and how much or how not much Republicans pick up. You know, my best guess would be is that the Senate stays Democrat, the House turns Republican. It's certainly going to make it tougher for Biden going forward to get stuff done. So I just don't see the explosive market the way the bulls love to continually say that we're going to see.
Yeah, Rick, that's a good point that we probably will rally into these elections. And it also has been helped a little bit by the Fed jawboning that they may slow down the pace of their rate hikes, at least from the 75s to the 50 basis point in December and maybe 25 first quarter next year. That was a contributing factor, as well as the dollar rolling over a little bit. But when you look at these targets like that 41.48 in the S&P, would you consider shorting it there? And are you concerned that the S&P and the NASDAQ both made lower lows than their June lows just back in September?
I'm not concerned much about the lower lows, because when you look at how much lower and where those weeks closed out. So If the June low was, what, 36.37, if I recall, in the S&P, and then we got down to 34.92, but we closed that week at 35.83. So it's, you know, it's a little over a percent lower, and we're above. I'm not concerned about it being lower lows. That looked like it was the flush out, and most likely in Elliott wave terms, probably the low of what we'll call it wave three, down off of the all-time highs. So, you know, this is now, we're in wave three, but let's call this wave four within wave three. So smaller wave four within wave three. So I think that it's still a rally to be sold into, and not that I'm such an Elliott guy, but when I look at all the stuff I do, let's just say that I don't think the Fed has really changed their tune. And I think I said it to you guys last month when we spoke that Chairman Powell made it very clear what needs to be done and the extent to which things will be done until, quote, the job gets done. And that means higher interest rates for a long period of time. And the thought that they're going to reduce what they plan to do or kind of take it easy, take their foot off the pedal, I don't think so. You can make an argument that they haven't done close to what they need to do to really materially impact inflation. And therefore, I know the bulls love to see and sense out any sense that they could be taking their foot off the pedal, that the, you know, the Fed is taking their foot off the pedal. But I think the Jackson Hole statement from Jay Powell could not have been more clear, and it would not be in the Fed's best interest at all to start kind of taking back any of what that statement is. So I think bulls love to see what bulls, you know, they want to see what they want to see. They have confirmation bias. They look for bullish news. They disregard bearish news. Everybody says it's all priced in the market. It's not priced in the market. It's not priced in on the institutional side, and it's definitely not priced in on the individual investor side. So, yes, we can rally, and I expect we could, you know, get back up into that 4,000 neighborhood. You're first going to have, as I said, some resistance even this week at 39.08. So it's only 30 points away from where we're currently trading at this time. But even if we get through there and we do get above 4,000, I don't think we'd likely take out that August high of, what was that, 43.25. I'd still say we're in a downtrend and we've made lower lows and lower highs. And you'd have to take out that 43.25 level to even get any sense that we're not still in a downtrend.
Okay, that's pretty clear there, Rick. I think still very much in this downtrend. What do you have to say to those bulls that are saying, well, look at some of these other central banks, the Bank of Japan, Bank of England, even this week the Bank of Canada that hiked a little less than expected. Again, they're looking for something to be bullish about, but they are pointing to some of these other central banks that have, I guess, eased back a little bit from their hawkishness.
All right, so let's look at this. If the central banks have eased off a bit, and of course the U.S. hasn't yet, but if other central banks have eased off a bit, one would think that their economies are in pretty bad shape, that they have to ease off just how much they're raising rates. So you can look at that as a near-term catalyst, and I won't argue with you, but in the bigger picture, that doesn't change the point that there's a lot of trouble ahead. Best case scenario to me is we get somewhere north of 4,000. We don't likely take out the 43.25 high from August, and it turns into a sell again.
All right, that's pretty straightforward there, Rick. Always appreciate your insights on the U.S. market. We're having you back on next segment. We'll jump around to a couple other sectors. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can't. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Now, for everyone listening on the radio, these two segments are simply snippets of a much longer conversation we had with Rick. If you want to hear that full conversation, please visit our website and click on that weekend show posting. Getting back into it with Rick now and switching focus a little bit to the U.S. dollar, because the dollar this week starting to move lower. As we're recording this, the dollar just broke below that 110 level, testing out the lows from earlier this month. And I think even more importantly, looking at the monthly chart, looks like the dollar is going to have a negative month this month. That's only going to be, I think, the second negative month in almost a year. 11 months, we'll have only two down months. The last one was in May. Rick, any significance to the potential rollover in the dollar here? Do you think the dollar has rolled over?
I'm going to say short term, yes. We've actually played this very well. We got out of dollar longs at 112. Been neutral for the last few weeks, and I said that if we break under 111.33, I wrote that in our institutional report this past weekend. So I was focusing on 111.33, and if we broke underneath that, you opened the door for a move to just under 108 to probably about 105.5. Has the whole dollar rally ended? Probably not. Short term, yes. Extended, and what you're really seeing, if you look at the dollar, if you look at bonds, if you look at stocks, you have three ways to play essentially the same move. You can technically be selling the dollar, buying bonds, or buying stocks. They're all near-term moves that are counter trends to what we've seen the whole year. So it's really all the same trade. The correlation is very high between these three markets, and the dollar weakness now and the fact that we took out the low from a few weeks ago should get some more computerized systems, especially if we close out the week under the low from 3 weeks ago. You're going to see more selling down to, again, 108 to about 105.5. At that point, I reevaluate, and I think whether or not there's going to be much more to the downside or not.
Yeah, it really has been kind of one universal market where it seems like it's a teeter-totter, Rick. On one side, you have commodities and you have the general equities and the crypto space. On the other side, you have the dollar and interest rates. What's your takeaway from the bond market here? Are you interested in potentially bonds doing a little bit better than they have? And what's your outlook?
Yeah, so the bond market, our institutional report that went out Sunday night, I suggested buying bonds on Monday. I turned bullish this week, certainly for a tactical play. I'm not looking for this to be, a huge move. With an initial target of 3.94%, and then we'll see if in the next week or two, depending upon how we trade against 3.94, then you could open the door if you break underneath that and how you break underneath it. You could open the door for move all the way down to, let's call it 3.55, something like that. So short term, yields have peaked the same way stocks have bottomed and the dollar has peaked. And they're all moving, in tandem, either the same direction or inversely, a very high correlation. So bonds, my being bullish bonds is kind of in line with me being bearish the dollar and bullish stocks all on a short-term basis.
Rick, let's talk quickly. Energy, your outlook for oil. I was just at an energy conference last weekend, and boy, oh boy, these companies are generating some great cash flow. Arguably, they're still a little bit unloved, unfortunately. What's your outlook, especially when it comes to the oil price here that is now back to approaching $90 a barrel?
So to me, barring an exogenous event for the oil market, right, something that we can't anticipate, something that happens with Ukraine or Russia or, geopolitics, but if we just look at kind of supply and demand and what I see, I think that oil probably gets a top between, I'll call it, the mid to high 90s to maybe 105, somewhere in that $10 range. I don't see oil going back to the highs right now. I mean, it has a clear double top, let's call it, this year over $120 a barrel. We sold down to, I guess it's about a year ago or so, where we kind of, the high 70s, low 80s area, mid 80s, where we had peaked and sold down to. So, you know, we've made a normal correction, and I can make the case that we're going to get another leg higher. But when I think about just general rules of investing, trading, and seeing how many people are theoretically trapped north of, we'll call it $100, I would think there's a decent lid in oil going forward. So as best as I can say, going out 6 months, we're not going to get above, I don't know, let's call it 105.
Well, Rick, I guess one other area of the commodities we should cover is with the weaker dollar. What's your outlook on the metals? Seems like a lot of the base metals have popped, copper, nickel, zinc. We've had silver up a little bit on this weaker dollar. And then gold has had a little life, but is still in the hurt locker. What's your outlook on the metals?
Yeah, so gold's been the tough one because, you know, we all know that just about 1675 in front month COMEX gold has been multiple lows for the last 2 years. There were six touches to that level. So that when a month ago when it broke, I wrote that, you know, be careful, this could fall fast and hard. And the week that it broke beneath that level, it really didn't sell off. You know, after you break a level that's held that many times, if it gets breached, it should sell off and it should sell hard and fast. And it didn't. So right away I said, kind of like, this isn't doing what I anticipated it to do. You need to have a neutral view because it can't necessarily be bullish, but this isn't acting bearishly the way it should. When you have 2 years of longs trapped at a horizontal level that traded six times breaks, it should crack. And it didn't. And in fact, last week, commercials, you know, for the commitment traders report, you have commercials and large speculators and small speculators, and the commercials are considered smart money. Commercials added 18,000 contracts on the long side last week. We were one of the places that I'm a strategist for. We were short silver, and we covered this week. Again, anticipating dollar weakness in that, you know, the unlikelihood that silver was going to keep trading down, just also watching what gold was doing. So I'm kind of neutral in here. I can't say I'm bullish. I give the slight edge to the bull simply because gold hasn't cracked. But it's a tough one here. And a lot of people are trapped higher, so it's going to mute any rally too.
Okay. Rick, very interesting comments. We do appreciate you jumping around market to market with us and as encouraged as I think anybody wants to be in any sector. Still seems like there is a lot of work to do to truly turn the script to more of a bullish outlook. Rick, as always, it's great having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking time with us. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Thanks, gentlemen.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden will make a week-long three-country trip next month for a quartet of summits, including one that could potentially put him in the same room as China's Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Arizona's Attorney General has agreed not to enforce a near-total ban on abortions, at least until next year, a move that Planned Parenthood Arizona credited with allowing the group to restart abortion care across the state. If you're feeling like you're behind on retirement savings, you are not alone.
A lot of Americans have either reduced or stopped contributions to their retirement due to inflation. That's according to a new report from Allianz Life Insurance Company. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor, bouncing around to a number of different markets. In this segment, we are going to, in a way, refocus on the energy sector as we are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes a free newsletter that is called Eye on Energy that focuses more on the macro data as it deals with what's going on in the energy sector, mostly oil and gas focused. Now, Joseph, I just returned last weekend from your energy conference in Calgary, one-day event where it seemed like you had little over 50 companies that were presenting, had the exhibit hall up and running. And my biggest takeaway, especially comparing this year's conference from the conference I went to pre-COVID when you started this conference up, boy, oh boy, the market environment, the sentiment is so different, so much more bullish towards these companies, and these companies are doing so much better, cash flow-wise, revenue-wise, across the board. I was not surprised, I guess, to see how well everyone was doing, but it was just nice to see a sector that is doing well in this general bear market that we've been experiencing all year. Joseph, just a quick little recap of the conference. Any main takeaways that you had, especially comparing this year's conference to the one about 3 years ago?
Well, I think the big answer to that is really commodity prices. You know, we were probably, you know, $40.50. Now we're in the mid-80s. Natural gas was sub a dollar. Now we're, you know, in the $4 or $5 range. So the commodity price recovery makes a big difference. And again, all the problems in Europe and their importing of LNG and the fact of the whole inflation problem that we're seeing worldwide on all commodities. And, of course, the OPEC cutback of 10 million barrels a day starting in November, all kind of added to a positive attitude. And companies are reporting very good earnings. Today I was listening to Crescent Point. They were the first one to report. Tomorrow Whitecap reports. All of them are reporting strong cash flows, spending less than CapEx than cash flow, using a lot of their money to pay down debt, using their money for shareholder returns, i.e. normal course issuer bids, buying back their stock, or paying regular dividends and special dividends, as Crescent Point did today. So you're getting a lot of very positive support here for the sector. A lot of companies will be reporting over the next 3 to 5 weeks, and I'll be writing them up in our subscriber product. I was just going to start Crescent Point. I was on the conference call. I'll do that after our call today. And I think that the attitude has changed a lot because the companies are paying down debt significantly. Most of them want to get to under 1x debt to cash flow. Others want to get to 0.5x debt to cash flow. And even some companies that we're speaking at the conference, like Birchcliff, plan to be zero cash flow. We had 34 presenting companies, 29 of them were E&P in service. We had 5 companies in the energy renewable space in the TMX-sponsored innovation and technology room, and fabulous attendance in most of the company presentations. And the key is we're looking next year to make it even bigger and better, take more space at Mount Royal University, expand the number of people and companies. So we see this as a stepping stone to an annual conference throughout this cycle. And as I mentioned in my preliminary speech, I think we're in an energy super cycle, and this is only the third one in my career. The first one was 74 to 81, the second one was 99 to 08, and this one started in 2020 in March, and I think it goes through the end of this decade. So there's going to be backing and filling along the way. Markets don't go straight up, but there's going to be wonderful buying opportunities throughout the cycle. The first was March of 2020, and I think we might see another one in December during tax loss selling season, is because, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of people have losses in other areas, gains in the energy sector, and of course you want to offset gains versus losses on a taxable basis, and that's something we're going to see potentially happen, and the pullback in the general market I think is going to be in November, December, and that will provide another entry point, I think, for the sector. But stocks are cheap. They may get a little cheaper because of market reaction on the stocks that really did bad, and if you have to sell them, and so you'll sell something that's a winner. Maybe it's not as much as a winner as it was at the high in June for the energy patch, but a lot of stocks are down 20-30% in the energy sector from those June highs, but many of them are still 5-10 times what they were in March of 2020.
Well, Joseph, I think that brings up an interesting point, that it's been a banner year for the energy space, and compared to most sectors, it's one of the few areas that people do have gains in. But we have seen the stocks and the prices of the commodities roll over a little bit since the summer. But when you look at this, not just on a short-term basis, but maybe more medium to longer term, you mentioned we may be in this energy super cycle that started in March of 2020. If you look at how companies were valued then to where they're valued now, how much more upside do you see in these stocks, let's say, over the course of the cycle? And where is a fair valuation for these? Because at the bottoms and the tops, things get a bit extreme. But where do you see the average mean being as things continue to get revalued in the sector?
Yeah, over the cycle, at the bottom of the cycle, companies are worried about the debt. They don't look at cash flow multiples because cash flow is pretty low because of depressed commodity prices. So it's a question of your debt servicing, and your reserves are valued lower because, you know, the price of oil and gas is lower. So the banks get nervous, or your lenders get nervous. And we saw quite a few companies go by the wayside during 2019 and 2020 as their lenders pulled support. And of course, when we got to the bottom, BDC, Business Development Canada, came in and provided loans to support the banks to continue to support the energy sector. And we see, and a lot of them are now being paid off by the great cash flows that companies are generating. At the top of a cycle, we have something called PDP, Approved Develop Producing Reserves, and those now could be 3 to 5 times cash flow. We were trading below that. So you were getting the proved reserves that were not producing and the probable reserves for free and land and tax pool. So that just shows you how cheap things were in 2020. At the top of the cycle, the market is going to pay for 1P reserves. So if PDP is 3 or 4, 1P could be 5 or 6. So you might have a multiple of 5 to 6 times cash flow, which is double what's being paid now. And, of course, if commodity prices continue to rise, production continues to rise, you're going to see much higher cash flows 4 or 5 years from now. And then if you put a 5-6 multiple on it, that's where you're going to see the upside, where I think you could see doubles, triples from here. And the most important thing is the premier companies, the ones that are growing, and the key, a lot of companies are just saying that they're focused now on shareholder returns with no growth wedge. Those companies with a growth wedge will trade at a higher value than a company without a growth wedge, and that's the ones we particularly like. And so companies then would get a valuation in excess of 1P. At the top of markets, when the markets are going crazy, you may get up to 2P. In other words, people will pay for proven plus probable, and exploration companies, they may pay for possible reserves, which is because the exploration cycle is so exciting, people will pay for the next exciting drilling location, even though they haven't proved it up in terms of reserves. So we've got a long way to go from where we are now, but we've come up a long way from where we were in March of 2020.
Okay. So, Joseph, long-term, very bullish, especially some of those forecasts of potentially getting to some very much higher price levels here. But we might need to, or at least energy investors might need to, weather a bit of the tax loss selling that could come into the sector. Again, my takeaway from that conference is these companies are generating some excellent revenue, free cash flow numbers, and they are returning a lot of that capital to shareholders. Some are starting to invest a bit more in growth, but these companies have sure cleaned up a lot of their balance sheets. Joseph, thank you as always for your time. It was a pleasure being at your conference. I look forward to next year's conference. We'll keep chatting with you in terms of keeping everybody up to date on the broad energy sector, though. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show, Joseph. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Do you have brain fog or loss of short-term memory? Do you suffer from symptoms of hypothyroidism or adrenal fatigue? Do you have deformative joint disease or candida overgrowth? All of these symptoms are associated with mercury toxicity. Most of the mercury toxicity comes from having had gray or silver-looking dental fillings. It does not matter how old the mercury filling is, it still off-gasses 1,000 times more mercury than the EPA considers safe for human exposure. Just replacing your mercury fillings with non-toxic material is only the first step. Unless you apply an effective detoxification protocol, then your body is still poisoned with mercury for the rest of your life. Green Metal Wave supplies the precursor to making glutathione. Glutathione is the number one mechanism for removing mercury and other toxins from the body. Order Green Metal Wave and get my free report, Mercury Detoxification That Works. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are wrapping up this weekend show with a good friend of the show, Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market blog. That's well worth your time to visit every day as Mark breaks down some of the key data points, some of the key currency and market moves that are catching his eye. Now, Mark, we're going to start off with a data point that a lot of investors were looking for this week, where next week we're going to have some more important, I think, data points come in. But we received the Q3 GDP number. The headline number here was that Q3 GDP beat estimates with a 2.6% increase. The estimate was 2.4%. But when you drive down further into this number, excluding trade, inventories, when you do look into that, you realize that this number, again, little over 1%, just continues to show a general slow growth, I guess, in the U.S. economy. Nothing extreme on the upside, nothing extreme on the downside. Mark, what was your takeaway from the GDP number for Q3?
Yeah, sure. You know, so as you said, we grew, the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate, 2.6%. Put that in perspective for you, contracted 0.6 in Q2 and 1.6 in Q1. So just adding those numbers up, you see a pretty flat number, right? 2.2 down in the first half, up 2.6 here in Q3. Well, I think that in some ways, I think that the market is looking well past this Q3 rise in GDP. In some ways, it's the like the mirror image of the challenge we had in the first half. And that is the way they do this GDP math means that sort of inventories and trade play a big role. They tend to be the most volatile elements there. And trade was really the story with the Q3 GDP pickup, just like it was a big drag in the first half of the year. And it's interesting that when you think about, well, what does this mean? Where's the U.S. economy going? In September, when the Federal Reserve made its latest forecasts, its dot plot, if you will, It's called the Summary of Economic Projections. You can find it on the internet. They publish it pretty easily. They changed the forecast for this year's growth to 0.2%. And that's about what we are, more or less, through the first three quarters of the year. That tells me that they, like the market, are talking about practically a stagnant Q4. So takeaway is not letting this this high GDP number, 2.6%, best quarter of the year, be it should be filed more under noise than the signal. And the signal is the U.S. economy is still losing momentum, and we'll be lucky just to escape with a few quarters of stagnant growth.
Mark, I think that's such an interesting take on it and such a great point, because that is not really the way the media has reacted to the two negative quarters of GDP or this positive quarter of GDP. They tend to swing emotionally and go out on a limb saying, oh, we're heading for a recession for sure, or, hey, good times again. Look at how much we're growing. But when you bring up those inventories and you bring up the point that really it would be an essentially flat year, and we have that stagnant growth, I had mentioned to you off mic, you know, we have the stagnant growth, and we have the high inflation, we have the high energy prices, we're starting to see some pressure to the labor markets, and labor markets are not keeping up with inflation. Isn't that what stagflation's all about? And you had an interesting response, so I'd love to hear, you know, how would you respond to someone that thinks, isn't this what we're talking about when we talk about stagflation?
Yes, so stagflation is kind of like, you know, if you think about like the Econ 101 classes, stagflation should be impossible for this, like our capitalist mindset. Because that means that you have both high inflation and weak growth simultaneously. And at least according to the models, right, weaker growth should bring down inflation. The problem, I think, is partly that they're both not on the same cycle. That is that prices of goods and services take a while to adjust, while the price of money is instantaneous. And so I suspect that if you take a snapshot of the economy, and you would see that exactly as you say, high inflation and practically no growth, no real growth. However, I think that you want to keep that, you want to change from being like the, in the analog world to the digital world and take a video. And I think you'll see that the stagnation part of this story is true. I think it's going to last several more quarters. The inflation story, though, is much more dynamic. And here's what I think happens is that we want to look at the recent past to see like what's new to the story. And if we take too far of a look at the past, we're giving too much weight to what happened a year ago, which is, of course, what everybody does when they look at the year-over-year rate of inflation. What I did was I took the Q1 inflation and just annualized it. Take the monthly numbers, annualize it. You get something close to 10%. Same thing for Q2. And in Q3, it falls sharply to 2%. So what's the true inflation? Should we look at like last Q3's inflation numbers to tell us something about the importance of what's going on now? I think that the year-over-year look at inflation, the CPI, sort of distorts, gives much too much credit to the higher inflation, and you lose sight of the recent development, which is that inflation, price pressure measured by CPI, have moderated sharply. And I expect this to continue here in Q4, beginning with the October print that comes in, I think, a week or so after the jobs data. So I begin looking for the inflation numbers to come off, and that will all support this, like, new narrative. By new, I mean the past week or two, where the market thinks that now we've got the Fed funds peak priced in, and the Federal Reserve is likely to take its foot off the brake so hard after this hike next week of 75 basis points. The market looks for a 50 basis point hike, and then maybe 225 basis point hikes in the first part of next year. So the terminal rate is still seen somewhere between 4.75% and 5%.
So, Mark, if that all plays out, then the Fed is at peak hawkishness. They get in a few more rate hikes, but they're to a lesser degree. Inflation comes down. The economy is still very much stagnant, but it's not crashing. Markets, yeah, they pulled back, but they also haven't gone through a huge capitulation event. Does that mean that maybe something won't break? That whole concept that the Fed is going to keep hiking until something breaks, is there less of a risk there?
I don't know about that. I think that so the markets, I think, you know, monetary policy takes place, its effectiveness is with a lag. But the markets are anticipatory in nature. I think one of the things that has stuck with me is how strong the stock market was in 2020. hit by the COVID and economic shutdown, the stock market was great. And so that is to say you could have a weak economy and strong stocks. And part of that, I think, what helps fuel that risk on is that people get more comfortable with the idea of the Fed being done. I'm watching the S&P 500, and the level that, like a lot of people, I mean, it's not being a genius here or anything, but 38.10 of the S&Ps, and we broke above that earlier this week, and we've held above it on this pullback. And so I think the stock market's trying to, whether it's a bear market, a tradable bear market bounce or not, I don't know. I lean towards it being a real bottom because I think that interest rates are probably near, have probably peaked. And I think the dollar is trying to turn down as well. So these stars seem to me to be lining up. But of course, we can't be fully confident of it just because we still are. I mean, until proven otherwise, we have to assume it's a bear market bounce.
Mark, as we look to next week, even through the rest of this year, what is actually going to matter? What are you going to be looking for outside of course, the Fed meetings and whatever they have to say at their press conference?
Well, this might surprise you, Corey, that next week we have the U.S. midterm elections. And in my weekly note about what's going to happen in the markets, I don't even mention it. At the end of the day, for most people with medium-term perspective in investments, even short-term perspective, I'm not sure that the election result is going to be that important. It's important, of course, for America, for partisans. But I think for a real policy, and the key policy, of course, here would be Federal Reserve policy, but also the federal government. There's another reason why I'm still negative on the economy. I think there's a headwind that people aren't recognizing yet fully, and that is how dramatic the budget deficit's falling this year. We were over 10.5% last year, and this year we're going to come in below 5%. And this kind of fiscal consolidation in 1 year took us about 3 years to do after the great financial crisis. So I'm thinking that I'm going to be watching those kind of the effect of both monetary tightening and fiscal tightening. But the one thing I don't think is going to have much impact is to get too concerned about the election, in which the House looks like it's going to go Republican, and the Democrats may be lucky if they can hold on to the Senate.
All right, Mark. Very interesting comments. Overall, boy, oh boy, these markets, at least they're going through still a little bit of a bounce. Mark, I appreciate you joining us, as always, on the weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in and spending some of your weekend with us. Please be sure to visit our website, kereport.com, and take a listen to all the daily editorials and company updates we recorded throughout the week. Mark, everybody, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Do you have brain fog or loss of short-term memory? Do you suffer from symptoms of hypothyroidism or adrenal fatigue? Do you have deformative joint disease or candida overgrowth? All of these symptoms are associated with mercury toxicity. Most of the mercury toxicity comes from having had gray or silver-looking dental fillings. It does not matter how old the mercury filling is, it still off-gasses 1,000 times more mercury than the EPA considers safe for human exposure. Just replacing your mercury fillings with non-toxic material is only the first step. Unless you apply an effective detoxification protocol, then your body is still poisoned with mercury for the rest of your life. Green Metal Way supplies the precursor to making glutathione. Glutathione is the number one mechanism for removing mercury and other toxins from the body. Order Green Metal Way and get my free report, Mercury Detoxification That Works. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.